This is The Verse, a weekly dive into the cinematic universes and beyond. We'll dissect the latest episodes, films, and news all fans from veterans to noobs are dying to know more about. Now, here's our team of pop culture superheroes we call The Verse Squad.
Welcome to The Verse.
Welcome back to The Verse, the podcast that will gladly stick our hands down Alexander the Great's gullet. Ew. After our marathon episode, we're going to scale it down a bit with Moon Knight Episode 4, some news, and maybe a Verse transmission. We need to rest because we have a lot coming up in the next few weeks. Paramount Plus was generous enough to share screeners of the highly anticipated new Star Trek series, Strange New Worlds. Speaking of Strange, we'll be reviewing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We'll be closing out Moon Knight, covering more Batman iterations and the continuation of na 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 Batman, all that and more. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's meet the team. I'm Norm.
I'm Bridget.
I'm Lucas.
I'm Norm. Hey, wait a minute.
And I'm Emilia, and this is The Verse News, where we bring you the latest in TV, film, and superhero news from across the cinematic universes and beyond. Let's see what the Verse Squad's come up with this week.
Alright, I'm gonna address the elephant in the room. Technically, the hammer in the room. Did y'all see the Thor Love and Thunder trailer?
Yes, oh, yes. And I don't like watching trailers, but I had to... This is a teaser trailer, is how they said it.
Yes.
When did teaser trailers become like 2 minutes long?
Okay. I am so glad that you made that point because that was a full trailer. It was 2.5 minutes. So are we going to get like an 8 minute trailer? I'm confused.
Probably. No, because they didn't tell us a lot of story points. It was more just visuals with music. So I really liked it and it looks good. Like, I mean, the graphics, the action stuff. I love the design of it. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I don't want to learn anymore because I already think I kind of can tease out some plot points, and I just like going in blind.
Well, they did have one first big look at the end of the teaser, mm-hmm. which is,
yes.
you know, Natalie Portman as...
Looking jacked.
Yeah, as Lady Thor.
As Lady Thor. I wasn't expecting them to put that in the teaser.
The Mighty Thor.
I wasn't expecting them to put that in, but at the same time, I sort of forgot that Guardians are a huge part of this film.
Yes.
And so it was so refreshing to see them all back on screen because I'm obsessed with the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Question.
Yeah.
Is this the last time we get Drax or is there's another Guardians one that's coming out with Drax?
There's another Guardians one coming out where the end of his contract.
Good. Well, Dave Bautista, I've really enjoyed him as Drax. I'm glad he's sticking it out. I honestly thought he was leaving sooner, but yeah, it'd be good to have like they can end that series and then yeah, I am glad, like you said, Bridget, it's really cool to see the crossover with Thor. I think that's going to be so much fun because those are two of the more fun, storylines.
And they did address something right off the bat in the beginning is Thor getting back in shape because the big question was like, is Thor going to, you know.
I told you, my wife was only going to see
Thor. The big Thorbowski. We needed to stick around a little longer. Come on.
Yeah, they had his Rocky training montage in the beginning of the trailer, so.
You can get fit in a montage in a movie very quickly. But no, my wife is like, she loved Fat Thor so much. She's like, I'll only see it if he's Fat Thor. And I was like, I'm sorry, I think he really quickly
would
be skinny Thor.
Honestly, Fat Thor is probably one of the best gems in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because it wasn't supposed to last and Chris Hemsworth just argued for it. And that mm-hmm. just proves what a good comedian he is, honest to God. He pulled
Big Thor Bowski.
Big Thor Bowski.
Nice.
Big Thor Bowski. I like it. It's got a good ring to it.
That they actually address it as a point. They're not just going to like magic it away.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It's got to actually work hard, you know?
Well, wasn't that Thor closer to like the mythological Thor, what he actually looked like? Anyway.
Yeah, he was a little bit thicker.
Beer-bellied thicker.
The only thing about this teaser trailer was that they had to use Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
I
heard the opening notes and I was just like, no, no.
Yeah,
Here it comes.
With you. I'm with you on this.
We've discussed this on the podcast about what they always do for trailers. It's like the low-hanging fruit. They'll just take an old song, cover it usually. Actually, this wasn't a cover, though.
This wasn't a cover. Right? I think it was, they remixed it a little bit, though, because I think it had a little bit more reverb on Axel.
I don't know. Which it was pretty good.
It's probably not going to be in the movie then, so... At least there's that.
You never know. You never know. I don't know. Thor Ragnarok is in my top five favorite Marvel films.
Yeah.
So that movie just will always have a special place. So I am so excited.
Yeah,
and
no.
I love Taika Waititi. I just think he's phenomenal. Phenomenal director. He's,
you know, a few people asked me what I thought of it. And it was funny because I was like, you know what? It reminded me exactly of watching the trailer for Ragnarok. Where I was like, okay, this looks really weird and different. And I'm glad because I really enjoyed Ragnarok. So, so I'm happy for that.
100%. So we're going to get... Oh, sorry, Norm. Did not mean to cut you off. I just was going to say that this isn't coming out until July. So we still have until July.
It's going to be the feel-good hit of the summer, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, we put this on our Twitter, and I'm still for this. I need a scene where Star-Lord and Thor watch Point Break together and bond over it. Need that. I need that
you
in
need
this movie.
That moment?
I do. I really do.
So the scene in the trailer where Thor's like, I love you, and he's like trying to make eye contact.
keep your eyes on what you, the people you love, and then he tries making eye contact.
100% pure adrenaline. I know that's a blind spot for you, Bridget.
It's, yes.
You know, Point Break.
Whatever you're talking about. Point Break, yes. No, so I'm excited. So we got that coming out July 8th, I believe. But, you know, first, obviously, we got Multiverse of Madness on May 4th. So I'm just excited to get
to see
two
totally different tones.
Way different. It's like the Multiverse of Madness is probably going to, like, tear our souls apart. It's going to be scary. And then we're going to need Thor Love and Thunder to be like, it's okay, Marvel fans. It's okay. Like, it's our teddy bear. It'll be our comfort.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I feel like it's going to be a... It looks like a superhero movie mixed in with, like, a... Yeah, like I said, like a feel-good summer movie, but then I feel... And then... But also there's, like, a lot of emotions in it. I think it's going to be very sad because Thor's story so far has been very tragic, even though Ragnarok had such a comedic tone. I don't know. I feel like it's going to hit hard. I have a suspicion.
That's a good point, Emilia. Yeah, as funny as Thor Ragnarok was, like, a lot of stuff went down in that film.
So, Norm, did you read the Thor comics? Because there was one that was the Thor run that I was obsessed with, is where there's that god, this god that's going around killing all the gods off.
Oh, yeah,
it's super dark.
Like, well, that he's in this, and what, Christian Bale's playing him?
Okay, so that was my question, because I'm like, that storyline, I mean, that's why the movie does not look that... dark, and I'm like, I remember where the comics go, and that was my favorite, by the way. That was like, it had like mythic levels. And anyway, so yeah, that is, I didn't want to like spoil that for anybody, if in case, you know, they didn't know about that. But so that's why where my expectations are, which is why I don't really want to watch any more trailers.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything when Emily was like, this is gonna be the feel good story of the summer, and I'm like, no.
Well, that's what I mean. I think it's gonna like act like that. And it's going to really come around and stab you in the back.
I see what you're saying. I agree. Like,
look, Taika Waititi does that really good.
Yeah, if you ever saw Jojo Rabbit.
Exactly. He's
which,
able
by
to...
the way, I went to see, when I saw that, I thought it was just a straight-up comedy. I'm not kidding you. I was like, wow, so they said a comedy in Nazi Germany. Oh, yeah, dumb. I was a dumb.
Hunt for the Wilder People? That movie.
Such a beautiful film.
No,
yeah.
he has an come expert on. Way of doing these... films that seem really, really lighthearted, but then like reach into your
sucker
chest cavity and just pull out your heart.
Well, I hope that this happens for the Thor one, because this truly is my favorite. Like, I never read a lot of Thor because I was never that interested in him. But in fact, actually, I prefer the cinematic universe Thor. I think, because we said Chris Hemsworth is so funny. Like,
but they figured him out.
By the way, if you ever watched the female Ghostbuster movie that came out, they get so much like. Eight. Grief, which I thought was hilarious.
Chris Hemsworth is amazing in that.
He is so freaking funny in that movie. Anyway, okay. Do we have
what
other
else we got
news?
For news?
My news is a little depressing. It's that Ezra Miller got arrested for a second time in Hawaii, and I'm curious what that means for the DCEU.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Are they
going to kick him out and get a new Flash? Because there's all this.
I don't know
cool
what
Flash stuff
what
coming.
They're doing.
Yeah,
is the Flash stuff already filmed?
I feel like at some point when somebody continually goes out and attacks people, you gotta draw a line.
Line in the sand in Hawaii.
Well, yeah. I guess like when we come back, to the next, whatever, I guess, Justice League movie. So, like, we would have, like, a new Flash, potentially, and a new Superman.
And a new Batman.
Might as well just, like, Batman. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Well, they were saying
well
they're
just make a new franchise at that point.
Yeah, well, they were doing that, right? Didn't a new head of the whole DC unit come over and say they're going to like rethink everything? I thought that was news that was released that we talked about like last week or something.
I don't believe it.
Oh. Like how what other ways can we really mess this up? They need to commit
to an overall idea. And it seems like Jeff Johns over at DC just doesn't want to do it, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah. It's the one thing that Marvel really does have the leg up on, DCU. Like, they very much are a powerhouse collective. I mean, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but they have a vision, a very strategic vision, and constantly pulling in parts to that, and the DCEU is just, DCU is not that.
Not to knock Marvel, I don't think they have an exact vision. I think they have a mandate of whatever comes out now must tie into this cinematic universe.
Yeah.
And that's like the mandate. Whereas the DCEU, they didn't want their TV shows to cross into the movies, and they didn't want the movies to tie into the TV shows at all.
So silly.
And it is really silly, that's why it's so confusing for people. Like,
right, man. You can't build audiences like that, because it's just it's too confusing. Yeah.
That's an old playbook. Like, that's not, like, everybody right now is trying to build those. Like, look at Star Wars. They do it really well, where they pull stuff from animation over to TV shows, over to movies. That's an old playbook. They got to get with it. But, you know, that's the thing is, the most successful things, I feel like, or at least the most entertaining ones, have been, like, Peacemaker, which has
so good.
Just a little tiny, you know, connection to the greater cinematic universe of DC. But, like, that was fun. The Suicide Squad was built into that. So they did that with those characters. But I'm sure it's because they don't want to touch their big, heavy-hitter characters like Batman, Superman.
Yeah. Anyway. The potential is there. The potential
is
there.
It is totally there. It's all on DC to
get their act
together.
They have to commit.
Okay.
Yeah.
What other news we got?
Moving on to another cinematic universe. And also my beat. We've got some Fast and Furious news.
It's coming in Fast and Furious.
Literally, I've been waiting for this.
Yes. So a couple of things since the last time we might have talked about Fast and Furious or the news. The 10th film, which is the next film coming out in the Fast series, is going to be titled Fast X. And the logo's out, and it's the word Fast over really big X. And it kind of looks like something from the 90s. So
it sounds like something from the 90s.
They miss an opportunity to do Fast Triple X, which was his other franchise.
Another bad one.
Oh God, that movie's coming out somewhere else and
like,
not in theaters.
Are they trying to like make it like fastest, but like Fast X, or is it just Fast X?
I think you thought about this more than the people.
Fastest and Furious.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know.
If you look at the naming convention for the rest of the movies, there isn't one. So I,
there's not.
True. That's very true. Yeah,
but it's pretty great. Brie Larson was also announced as joining the project.
I can't wait to hear all the hate she gets for this one.
Much hate. Yeah. She's gonna get so much hate.
God forbid she cuts her hair or anything. So we're gonna have a lot like the original crew. A lot of the original crew. Jason Momoa as a, and I quote, flamboyant villain, and probably some other surprises. Apparently, the next two movies are actually filming back-to-back, so, you know, we won't have to wait too long after Fast X to get a Fast
XL?
XL? Oh my god, no.
XI?
That would be
a different Roman numeral.
Can we go into Roman numerals now?
XI?
No, but I like XL for this extra large.
Yeah, that's true. XL would be sort of good. That's
be XXL?
Actually a decent tile. No,
don't say that too loud. It's going to happen, Lucas.
For us Americans.
I will say, you telling me that Momoa might be playing a flamboyant villain actually makes me happy, because they always try and cast him as this, like this darker, brooding character. He's always got to be
funny.
Tough guy. But he is really funny. If you ever listen to him, like, talk to people and like, give interviews, he's hilarious. Give him some comedy to work with.
Well, I liked him as Duncan Idaho, and he surprised me because I thought they were going to do the dark brooding, and instead they made him more fun and swaggering, which is what Duncan Idaho is supposed to be from the Dune universe. So anyway, I say let him have some fun. Give him some comedy.
Absolutely. And he's like Aquaman. He's got some great comedic moments in
Aquaman. Okay, by the way, blind spot for me, I've never watched Aquaman.
Okay. Oh, you got to see Aquaman. You've got to. That's a good. It's
Do
a good
I
film.
Really have to?
Just,
I mean,
just put a wax paper. Just put a piece of wax paper up anytime you see Amber Heard.
That's right.
Yeah. But no, it's a good movie. It is a good film. I will give that movie credit. I mean, it's not like Wonder Woman, but compared to Wonder Woman 1984, Aquaman is like spectacular.
I'm like a Namor guy, so like for me. Aquaman's like the lame version of Namor.
Yes. The Submariner is by far the better.
Actually,
of these two
you know,
characters.
You might not like Aquaman because Boba Fett's in there, and we know.
Wait, how Boba Fett's.
Boba Fett.
I mean, not Boba Fett. She's talking about.
It's Boba Fett. It's Boba Fett, Norm.
What?
Okay. It's Boba Fett.
You're talking about Tamir.
Oh, I like Tamir. I'm fine with the actor. I just don't like how they wrote him. Anyway.
All right, going on to news that won't affect anybody until next year, the Spider-Verse. We've talked about how Into the Spider-Verse is one of our favorite Spider-Man movies. They announced this week the airing of Across the Spider-Verse, which will be June 2nd, 2023. And they didn't stop there. They also announced Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 2 will be releasing in March of 2024.
Wow.
So it's a two-parter.
Wait, was it part of this announcement that Into the Spider-Verse 2 is delayed?
Well, Across the Spider-Verse is Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Across the Spider-Verse is the sequel.
Oh. And that's what I was a little confused about. So we're not getting it till next year.
We're not getting it till next year. June of 2023. And then the second part of it will be in March of 2024.
Okay. Far enough away where I just... don't have to think about it for a while. That's all right.
Will it be on Netflix? Question mark.
Will Netflix still exist?
Well, Netflix. Question. Yeah, that's
there's bigger a question. Bigger question mark right now. I mean, I don't mind this being delayed that much. I would rather have it sooner, but I loved that first one.
Sure. I mean, I'll show up for it, dude. If they have the same animation style, or you know, or even play around with it more, because I had so many different styles kind of meshed in there with. Killer soundtrack like they did last time. Like, no, that was like such a strong movie.
Yeah. I'm not going to be hurt if they delay this to get it right.
No. I mean, yeah, Into the Spider-Verse was a phenomenal film. Still, that soundtrack is like my hype playlist. Like,
love it.
I love that soundtrack so much. So much. So, is that all we got for news today? Mm-hmm. I would say I was very excited to hear Emilia's take on Brie Larson. I was waiting for it. Because they came out like a day after we last recorded, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, how do you feel about it, Emilia? You didn't really say your opinion.
Oh, I mean, I think it's going to be great. Like, they always get... the casting for Fast and Furious movies must be the most fun thing ever, because they always get people that like seem to really want to be in these movies, because who doesn't want to be in these
movies? Want to drive fast cars? Yeah.
Yeah, like you don't have to act that hard, and it's really fun, and they've
got a good paycheck,
pay really well.
Yeah. Exotic locations, I get
barbecuing.
Sign me up.
Good people who would fit in quite perfectly, and they're always like, big stars. You know, like Jason Momoa, like in Fast 9. You know, they had John Cena. It's just they pretty much like don't miss when it comes to adding in these big names. And Brie Larson's really cool. She's like...
do you think she's going to be like the sister of Dominic?
A long-lost sister?
Long-lost sister.
Another sister.
A long-lost
brother. We're going to repeat from
Step-sister.
Fast 9.
Half-sister. Anyway.
I don't know. I wonder if she's going to be like
a good guy
or a bad guy. Or a bad guy who's going to turn good. Or a good guy's going to turn bad.
I feel like I've seen this one before.
There's nine tropes to go off of here.
That's true. I hope
we already got Ludacris in space. What's left?
Oh, that's true. I hope it's like the cool niece, like Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl and Batman, like that. That's what I hope.
Maybe she'll be a villain. Maybe she'll like team up with Charlize Theron, who's going to be in this film as well.
Mm. Her niece.
It'll be a whole thing. But, or maybe she'll be, like, trying to think who else needs a love interest.
Can't they just be,
I don't know,
good friends? Haven't we talked about this?
Maybe she'll become good friends with Roman, because I feel like he's always looking for quote-unquote love, but I feel like he's already got Ludacris, though. Anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, can't her and Michelle Rodriguez just be friends? Have a girls' night out every now and then?
I hope so. I think that would be... That's one of the things I'd like to see in my life. Michelle Rodriguez having a girls' night out.
I'm telling you, Norm, you should write for some of these movies. I'll start the petition.
There we go.
So, does anyone have any more news? Okay, so, now that we're done with the news, why don't we continue our coverage of Disney Plus's Marvel's Moon Knight, episode 4.
So yeah, what happened this episode?
That's my mind blowing.
Yeah.
A lot happened.
A lot, right?
Pyramids.
Ancient mummies. Ancient emperors.
Nightmares.
Yeah.
Horror.
Big revelations.
Scary.
Little 12 monkeys sprinkled in.
Oscar Isaac is amazing.
Twist ending.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Glad we covered it all.
It's just doing word association.
I was going to say word association, and then I was going to say, are we saying verbs? Are we saying adjectives? Are we saying nouns? What are we dropping about this episode?
Well, let me do like an actual discussion.
I think we covered it.
Did I kill Norm? I don't know. Let's see.
So this one is titled The Tomb, appropriately. Mark and Steven must find balance as supernatural threats ahead look to stop them. That doesn't tell us very much, IMDb. Anyway,
that's
so
a terrible description.
What ends up happening is we know that Khonshu is now frozen in a statue, so there are no powers to fall back on. So right. Mark Spector and Maya? Oh, May Layla. Is her real name. Sorry, yeah, Layla. I combined May and Layla into one. Rewind that. Okay. And Layla are investigating inside a tomb to find where the other god statue is frozen, the frozen goddess is. And they're being chased by Ethan Hawke and his minions. They end up having to solve a lot of riddles. And it had a very Indiana Jones-esque or Tomb Raider-esque feel to it, which I really appreciated. And then we get a lot of back and forth with Steven, who's solving some of these riddles, and then we get Mark showing back up, and it culminates in some very dramatic moments, confrontations between Layla and Mark, revealing some backstory about, you know, her father. And then as they finally discover the statue of, what is the goddess again that we've been searching for this whole time?
Amit.
Yeah.
Amit. When they finally actually do discover that, a dramatic encounter happens with Ethan Hawke, and we get, plunged into weirdness. And I don't want to spoil it too much if people haven't watched this one yet, but can I just tell you that, remember last episode I was complaining how this might be getting too close to WandaVision, where they set up all this weird, crazy world, and then it gets to be a little bit too similar Marvel world?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I was wrong, because this episode... takes a weird left turn that was...
It took a hard left at Albuquerque.
Yeah. And I'll say that...
hard left.
I dropped the 12 Monkeys thing because... Who here has seen 12 Monkeys? Just confirming. Okay.
Wow, yes. Just me?
The old men of the
Norm.
Group have. So it's, you know, like you could tell they were riffing off that a little bit
sure.
from the production, which I, you know, a little tip of the hat, which I liked. But we get to see a somewhat crazy alternate reality. Is it? Is it an alternate reality? Is it in his mind, in Steven and
illusion?
/ Mark's mind? Is it an illusion? Who
illusion,
knows?
Illusion, trickery, a dream sequence. Who knows?
We'll only find out in episode 5.
So, yeah, a lot happened plot-wise. And personally, I really liked... So, Layla got some cool scenes where she's literally battling the mummy.
Yes.
Love you,
that
Brendan Fraser.
That was so scary.
Yeah, and a great... A scene between, you know, Ethan Hawke and May Kalamui? How do you pronounce her actress name? Anyway, really cool scene between them. So a lot of, like, drama and action. And I'll tell you, oftentimes when you remove the superhero power stuff, it's a lot more fun, like, for me. The tension feels higher. It feels more dramatic because nobody has superpowers to fall back on. So bullets are deadly, right? So, yeah, I felt like this episode was a really strong episode for this season.
I would have to agree. I'd have to agree. I will say, and this is a very unpopular opinion, this episode totally changed my mind on this series. I wasn't as hooked by this series, like, right off the bat as I thought I might be. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been enjoying it, but I felt that when I was watching, I think, WandaVision and I would say Hawkeye, I get drawn into the episodes much quicker than Moon Knight was drawing me in. And I don't know, it might have just been a timing thing of when I was watching the episodes, because I think if I go back and rewatch them, I might have a little bit of a different viewing experience than what I've had so far. But let me tell you, like, I could not take my eyes off, like, the television screen watching this episode. I was sitting upright in bed, holding onto a pillow, like, being like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? It was like watching a very suspenseful, like, horror movie thing.
Yeah, it had all the good horror, like, suspense. It was very dark. I was, like, watching it on my laptop, and I literally kept trying to put the brightness up to see what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it definitely felt like, I love the genre they were pulling from, which is, like, those old, like I said, The Mummy is kind of a joke, but kind of real. Like, it's like a dark horror action comedy.
Yes.
So I'm going to come out right now and say I'm a sucker for, like, movies like The Mummy, Indiana Jones, and even National Treasure.
National Treasure.
I love those movies. And you're right. They had this feel. Like, I do love archaeological-based movies. And when we got into this and they started getting into the tomb, and Stephen was so excited. Like,
he's so,
like,
giddy. Yeah.
Like, Nefertiti? Oh, this is amazing. It's going to be a big one.
And then you get Alexander the Great, you know, his tomb, nobody knows where he was buried. He died in the middle of a campaign to take over the whole world. So, like, that kind of holds up. I can see that he's there. And I like how they kind of tied it into the narrative, and then that he had to reach into his throat, which had, you know, again, comedy. Like, they do such a good job of balancing the dark, scary moments with some actual funny moments. And then Steven, of course, is the essentially comedy relief through most of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was fun. Steven was great. One of my, like, favorite moments of the show, which is actually, like, a little bit of a smaller moment, is when he and Layla are exploring the tomb at the start, and, like, because a little bit earlier they kiss, and quite frankly, it looks like it's a bit awkward for her. Maybe didn't quite live up to expectations, but Steven's now, like, pretty much head over heels for Layla, and this part where they're talking, and she, like, looks away for a second around the tomb, and he's just, like, staring at her, and he's got the face, exactly the face of a lovesick puppy, and it's ridiculous. And the second she turns back, he, like, tries to hide it, and he looks so stupid, but I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, and he seems like he's a good enough dude, like, friend to his other half, Mark, that he would, like, oh, it'll have to be somewhat unrequited, you know? Which I love. Like, again, I love the whole psychology behind a split personality that they play with in this.
Oh, it's so good. But it's also, I know in the last episode that we had touched on, you know, like, maybe popularizing, I guess, like, mental illness in this series. And so it's interesting how they're, like, treading this line of having humor with it, but also, like, recognizing very much the seriousness of this. And I think that's what is so powerful about Layla's character, is because it's, you know, like, that's, you know, Steven's wife, like, and, like, watching someone go through this, and it's two different people, but it's not, it's the same person, and how that affects, like, your loved ones. It's just very, it's very captivating, I would have to say. Yeah.
Not enviable, no.
No.
Can I ask, though, how cool is it when Steven and Mark gave each other a hug when they saw each other? I was like, oh,
nice.
Let me tell
you, that
shows how much they've grown.
That ending sequence will permanently be in my brain from now until the end. Like, that, whoa. Just whoa.
That was a nice moment.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. But, okay. I mean, I don't know how much spoiler territory we want to get into, because they like,
jump
tease
into it.
Well, because there was Steven finds Mark, And then they're like going to another room, and there's another tombstone or another sarcophagus. And I'm like, that's the third personality. That's who.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's the third personality. They didn't open the sarcophagus, and they
Nobody
left us
wants any
hanging
of that.
On
Nobody
there.
Nobody wants to see that.
We want to see that. We want to see that. But I thought it was funny because was it Norm? I think last episode you predicted that. I think it was your prediction that we're gonna get a third personality by the end.
Lucas and I both were on it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. We know that we know it's coming. We just don't know how long they're gonna be able to tease the Jake Loki, or whatever.
Oh my God! It's Loki. No,
it's not Loki. It's like Loki or. Lock it or
By the way,
like
my
that.
Brother just got a little puppy dog and named him Loki, and it made me so happy. I was like, such a good dog name.
That is a good dog name. It's a good dog name.
Now you need a bigger dog named Thor.
Oh my God, yes. Actually, you know, let's just get like a dozen dogs and name all Marvel characters. That's hilarious.
I think we should just have Avengers. Yeah. Assemble. Avengers assemble.
Oh my God, when you call them, they all come over and pose? Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
There's a good
Such
pun
posers.
That would be like 300 billion views on YouTube. I can already see it today. All right, anywho's.
Okay, should we go into spoilers and Easter eggs and things?
I mean, if it's in the episode, we can spoil it. It's just going forward what we can't spoil.
Well, gotcha. So let's talk about the ending then a little bit. But that has to go to theories, because that's where I'm at. Like, it was such a kind of like weird, shocking ending that none of us saw coming. Where he ends up in a mental institution, which, by the way, the playing Stephen Grant, right, was on the TV. The show he's watching was awesome, like shot like an 80s show or 90s, I guess it would be like, with the square aspect ratio, the 4:3 aspect ratio. But that was, I thought, really cool. It definitely felt like 12 Monkeys, him like staring at a TV in a white room. But then, what's it called? The ending, where the shocking ending, where they run into the hallway and see a hippo god standing in front of them.
Hi.
So that, yeah, like, yeah, and just says hi in his tiny little voice. I mean, I have to admit, when that ended, I was like, okay, this show just completely won me over for this, because I seriously was worried they were gonna, you know, go in the opposite direction. So yeah, when that happened at the end of it, I was like, I always give props for weirdness. And this felt like some of the best they've done so far.
I'm so confused. I'm not confused. Don't get me wrong. But they really mind warped me at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we give a bit of context as to how we get to the mental institution?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they're in the. We start out in the tomb with Steven and Layla, and then. At some point, we get Mark again. Steven turns back into Mark, and he gets cornered by Harrow and his men. Harrow shoots him twice, and he falls back into the water and seemingly dies, because, again, no armor is but a puny human. And then, we like fade out to black, and then the next thing you know, we're watching some kind of 80s VHS tape of, like, Indiana Jones before there was Indiana Jones, and then it turns out that is actually a TV that Mark, who was in a very clinical white, stereotypical insane asylum type thing, clinic, has been watching that movie.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get there? What is it? What's happening?
So
I don't know.
A lot of people buzzed about this on the internet, because this is straight from the comics.
Yeah, I was seeing the panel by panel, the shot of the thing, which was pretty cool.
And a lot of people were theorizing that this is where Jake was going to come in. Like, this was going to be his story. So it was kind of weird that the transition stayed with Mark Spector instead of switching to, like, a different personality. That way you can kind of be like, oh, okay, this is how the other personality is perceiving reality.
Yeah.
But it stays with Mark, which is weird. One of the things I did enjoy, though, when he first realizes or, like, gets his bearings about where he's at, he tries getting out of the wheelchair he's in, and he falls because he's strapped to it, just like he was strapped to the bed in the first episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't pick up on that. It's a cool little Easter egg.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and well, then it turns out his therapist or whatever is Arthur Harrow, or yeah. I don't know if that was his name.
Dr. Harrow.
Dr. Harrow. Okay, so it was.
Wait. I'm still confused. So, like, are we, like, legitimately in a mental institution, or?
Well, see, that's the question. That's the question.
I don't know.
You have to wait till episode 5.
I just love that they dropped this episode 4, because this to me seems like typically an episode 3 bait and switch, mm-hmm. and then, like, you know, it explains itself away. Doing this in episode 4 is intriguing to me, because it's really setting up the last two, you know, which will most probably be almost like a two-parter if you think about it.
I don't know. I felt very bamboozled by the end of this episode. Wow. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot to take in. Like, it was a lot happening. And all of a sudden you realize, like, Layla also is in the institution, and the villain is just there.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention that. You see a crazed, like,
Layla.
Layla, who also seems like she's on a lot of meds.
Right. You also see a lot of Harrow's lieutenants or whatever are orderlies and whatnot in the facility mm-hmm. passing out, like, food or medication or being like, hey, time... outside time or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I feel like lends itself to... like, we don't know what the explanation is going to be. It could be... this could be a dream sequence, like a near-death dream sequence thing. But it kind of feels like one big illusion because of all of the similarities that you're seeing between real life and this mental institution, and then, like... it almost feels like it's some kind of manipulation by Arthur Harrow that's, like, being essentially skinned onto Mark's experience. Because when he's walking around, like, he's stumbling and there's, you know, they're saying it's because of the drugs. But it kind of also seems like maybe it's because he has 2 gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
Right. Loss of blood.
Yeah. Do we want to do a little spoiler thing? Or we said Easter eggs, right? You did your little... him chained to the wheelchair.
We can totally do the spoiler.
Well, this isn't a spoiler. This is essentially like just some little Easter eggs that I saw. So that is the goddess of Tauret at the end, who's the goddess of fertility and childbirth.
Oh.
Which I'm like, how does that tie into, maybe it's like...
Well, I'm trying to remember. In the was it episode 4 where the gods all get together and they have their avatars? Mm-hmm. Isn't the one... a woman who talks to him at the beginning.
Was that Tower?
Wasn't that her avatar?
Ooh, that's possible.
I think that was
Which, by the way, in the first episode, so again, thank you, Reddit, you see those little plush toys of the hippo goddess in the store, in the shop that he's working. So again, this could just be his mind creating this image of this goddess.
The reason why I think this has to be in his mind is because he breaks Steven out of a sarcophagus. Now, that's not going to be a thing that's going to happen in real life.
In a real mental asylum.
Even if he had, a twin brother and he's like, oh, this is why I'm kind of whatever. It's like, no, this has to be in his mind.
Maybe it's all in his mind, but he's still in a mental institution.
Right. Yeah, that too.
There's that.
Another fun Easter egg. When he gets out of the chair, he drops an action figure that is a Moon Knight action figure.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was a Skeletor or something.
Oh, I thought it was Moon Knight.
Looked like Moon Knight to me.
Okay.
Moon Knight, yeah.
I was reading on... Anyway, this is why you shouldn't believe the internet, folks.
At least it could have been a Skeletor figure that he dressed up to look like Moon Knight.
It says, the Moon Knight action figure that Mark is holding is actually it's a repainted Skeletor figure from Masters of the Universe. Oh. So they essentially took that, repainted it to look like Moon Knight. That's what it
was.
There
we go.
That's cool.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's cool.
I thought it looked a little... I thought it was just kind of like a beat-up old Moon Knight figurine, like that was actually from...
It makes sense, though, because they don't really have a Moon Knight... Well, they probably do it for Marvel. Probably
they have the Legends. Released. Look, if Arcade has a Legends action figure, I guarantee you Moon Knight has a Legends action figure.
Oh, but it would make sense in the universe, right, that there wouldn't exist Moon Knight action figures. So you got to give props to the props department to say, like, oh, how would there be a Moon Knight action figure? Oh, because he'll paint it himself on a Skeletor. Nicely done, Marvel. They're always good at that stuff.
I wanted to bring something up because I thought this was... not weird, I just was really freaked out by it. So in the episode, Layla and Mark, I guess at the time, were like running from like a mummy, question mark,
mm-hmm.
jackalish.
Priest. Was it one of the undead priests?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because when that mask got ripped off and that thing, it's like it was blue and it was like fighting Layla. It reminded me of one of the orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
And I was quite horrified.
It's like one of the Uruk-hai.
Yeah. Yeah. It was scary. It was very scary. Yeah. And I said, I knew that thing was going to pop out of that cavern. I was not expecting the in and out being like, oh, Layla's out, and then back in. Layla's out.
Yeah, I like
in.
That they did it more than once, too. Because, like, once you expect, and then twice you're like, wait, is she
Once
gone?
They hung the camera shot. This is why I love suspense, because you know it's going to come, but it still just gets you. Like, once they hung the camera shot, like, in that deep cavern part, I said, son of a nutcracker.
Yeah.
That thing is going to come crawling out of that wall. I already know it.
That was great. Having it, like, first show itself with, like, its hand coming through, like, a little hole in the wall as she's trying to climb. And then more and more, and it realizes she's there, and it grabs her. Like, yeah, I expected it to pull her into the cavern once and then back out. And after, like, the second or third time, I was starting to be like, wait, should I be legitimately concerned? For this person, despite all their plot armor?
Yes. Yes. And then also, too, like, when we first see that priest and he is, you know, like, de-gutting a human.
Putting the organs in the canopic jars.
Mummifying
a human being. Yeah, I just have more questions about that. Like is there more than one of these priest things? Like,
yes.
How is it alive? Probably, yeah. It's just a lot of questions.
Magic. There's your answer for how's it still alive. Magic.
Magic.
Wow.
Magic.
Good answer.
But that was a lot of canopic jars that thing had at the base of that that ritual table. Like, there was a lot there.
There was a lot.
A lot of organs.
Yeah, I was going to say, liver, spleen, kidney.
Yeah, but they
were
like,
I don't actually know how many they would take out.
Like, the small intestine out or something, and he, like, dropped it in. You, like, hear the sound of it, and I was like, oh my God. And, like, poor Layla is, like, sitting right next to it, like, as a spleen is getting
dropped.
She's,
like, slowly, she's like, okay, I'm just going to try and, like, inch away, and I'm like, this is a heck of a plan.
Yeah.
I like that Layla got a cool action scene, though.
Layla was a boss. Yeah.
It was kind of more her episode than anything else, which was needed, I think, for her character.
Yeah, because
up until this point,
father.
She's just been...
Yeah, they had the whole...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a very...
I also read a cool spoiler thing where a lot of the actors actually have been... they do extensive rehearsals before all the scenes, and what a lot of them doing, Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke, were doing a lot of improvisation for different character moments that end up in the final scripts. And supposedly, the actress, she was like, kind of wanted to get in on that action, and then and went up to Ethan Hawke and was like, "Hey, like, it'd be great if we could like maybe have a scene, like work a scene together." And he said, "Okay, that's cool because I already wrote one." And essentially, he had written a scene between the two of them having a confrontation. And oftentimes, the actors will do this even if it doesn't end up in the script or in the final script or in the show, because it allows them to explore a character in a way that you know they can do off screen. So that whole confrontation where she's on the ledge and he's there came about because those two actors improv the scene together.
Which is really cool
because I love that scene.
It was a good villain scene.
Can actually have, like, when the action calms down and you can have those different interactions, really helps build character. So, yeah, it was cool.
Maybe this is just me, but I find the villains that have more, that are less mustache twirly and more human and have, like, you have to question, like, well, are they right with this? Like, Carly Morgenthau was a really good villain for me because, again, I understood what she wanted. I was sympathetic to it. I just didn't like the way she was going about it. And that usually makes a scarier or more compelling villain for me. And that's what Ethan Hawke's doing here with Hera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's why Dr. Doom is the best villain of all time. But yes.
Yeah.
The more you can humanize the villain, the better it is as a character.
You know,
and I really like that interaction between the two of them because he is dropping some secrets that Mark's keeping still from from his wife.
Yeah. You know, it was very, I thought it was like almost, it not bothered me, but it seemed very intense with how the build up to it. So, like, obviously there's, like, guns and violence all throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That, when Ethan Hawke shot Mark, like, that was a very, like, slow down, abrupt, like, bam, bam. Like, it reminded me of watching, like, The Departed or something, because it was, like, very methodical, and it was, like, very, I think, like, you guys just said it, but, like, humanized, like, oh, dang, like, this is not, like, gods fighting gods
like,
anymore.
Like, what a low-tech way to die.
Yeah, it's, no, seriously, but it was, like, so brutal at the same time. It was just, like, bam, and you're, like, oh.
Yeah, like, they shot him twice, too. You're, like, ooh. Like,
so, I have trouble seeing scenes like this anymore in the same light after watching Sherlock season 2, I think it was. If anybody has watched,
yeah, I remember watching that
with Benedict. It's been a while. With Benedict Cumberbatch. There,
yeah, where he gets shot and he starts doing the monologue of like how movies get people getting shot like that wrong. It's like people aren't going to fall back because the bullet's actually not that. You know,
yeah, honestly,
powerful stuff like that, and I'm like, and while
I have a
watching
weird
this on this,
segue,
I was
or a weird side note, Norm, which so my friend's NYPD, and he was saying how in when cops get shot in real life, they'll actually act, a lot of them will act like in a movie, they'll just drop, but criminals because they actually are like in the middle of doing a criminal act can run for blocks and blocks with a mortal wound, and
right,
like
yeah.
not even seem like they're affected at all, so. How we perceive reality, we oftentimes
yes.
mimic it. So maybe that was what was happening.
Right. I'm just saying, like, but ever since seeing that episode of Sherlock, every time I
it
see something like
Phoebe
this, I'm like, I'm like, okay, sure.
I don't know. I honestly, though, like, all in all, like, this was a phenomenal episode. Like, wow. And there's only two episodes left. Like, this is what Marvel's been doing. It's like, this was like, well, we got to the point in Hawkeye when episode 4 ended in Hawkeye. We're like, how the heck are they going to wrap this up in two episodes? Like, what the chuck?
Yeah.
Well,
now
they're definitely going to give us a bridge to something else, whether it's I hope it's not a low-key cliffhanger. Like,
right.
I would like a little bit of resolution would be nice.
Yeah.
But again, so theories. So far, we haven't been proven wrong with any of our theories.
No. So I think my latest theory is that the Jake personality, when it does come out, for whatever reason, I think he's going to be very sympathetic to Harrow's experience.
That would be cool.
I just have this funny feeling that there's got to be more internal conflict now, because it seems like Mark and Steven are like going to try and put things aside and work together.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be some more internal conflict, and I think that's where Jake's going to come in. So I have a funny feeling Jake's going to be more sympathetic towards Harrow.
Can you
and maybe
imagine that,
go
though?
That way.
What a cool taking this concept of split personality, where he's like, you're trying to stop the bad guy, then all of a sudden you flash forward and like your other alter ego was helping him, and they're like,
yeah, exactly.
battling against yourself. That's cool. I hope they do
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that would be a really cool plot device, and they're not sticking close to these, like, you know, typical Marvel stuff that we're used to. So,
get
I'm
Norm in the writer's room. Starting the petition. That's a cool concept. I would be totally into that if they do that.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that's my theory. I hope.
I have no.
And I'm sticking with Ghost Rider
point.
Showing up.
I don't know. I got.
I want
no
Ghost Rider
at
to,
this point.
To show up.
Because I know nothing about this character, and I have no idea what direction the show is going. Like, I know nothing. Like, mind blown. I have no idea.
So here it is, though. I think they're teasing all these gods, right? And so we have all the Egyptian gods, and there's got to be other gods that want to be in this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I think Ghost Rider, a big part of his is he's like, possessed by a demon, right? That's the Ghost Rider. And a lot of his storyline is trying to stop, like, what is it? Layla is the name of that all-powerful, like, evil goddess who wants to cross over. Anyway, there's a lot. Well, no, in Ghost Rider, there's a whole plot line of him trying to stop this, like, you know, evil goddess from coming over. So I have a feeling there might be, like, that's my theory, is that it's going to tease in Ghost Rider, because his whole thing is like playing in that like god world.
I can see that.
I can see it too.
So Bridget has none.
I have no. I really like I don't even want to theorize anything, because I like. Blank slate going into the series. Knew nothing. Still know nothing.
Swing for the fence. Just throw something outlandish out there. Just toss it out there.
Um.
Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Like, this is not going to happen, but completely out of there. Moon Knight is going to let us know if Captain America is on the moon or not. If Steve Rogers is on the moon or not. That's why this series is called Moon Knight.
That's a good idea. I like that. I like that a lot. Well, I guess what I want to know, and I don't know if we'll find it out in this series, is how this fits into, like, with everything with the blip and everything. Because they've sort of answered that in, like, every other series and movie.
Oh, yeah. So where in the timeline does that take
I want to know where in the timeline this falls. And they haven't really answered that. So that I want to know. But I guess
that's a good question.
They won't reveal it until we know, like, what reality we're in. Like, is it the mental institution? True. Is, like, what's real and what's not? And maybe they won't reveal that at all because they want that to be, you know, a plot device moving forward. So I guess I would like to know, I would like them to reveal the timeline of this. I would like to see that.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, it does make me wonder if we are in a different reality because, like, yeah, they haven't mentioned Thanos at all. They haven't mentioned any of the other MCU fixtures that we're familiar with. They turned the sky into a disco rave, like, in the last episode.
I still think that was, like, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen on screen. That was so cool.
And that's, like, never mentioned by any other, like, I mean, they'd have to kind of retcon that, but, you know, they just, that seems like something that would catch someone's attention in the MCU.
Someone, anyone, somebody had to be looking at the stars that night.
So it makes me think that this does exist either in a slightly, like, maybe it's present day, and so, like, we don't, like, if other people are going to have noticed that and get involved, it hasn't happened yet. Or maybe it is in an alternate reality. I was thinking it would be really, really bold and honestly really unlikely that they would do the whole, he's been in a mental institution this whole time. But I wonder if there's a way to, like, kind of do that without entirely nullifying everything that happened.
Yeah, we also lose all the storyline of Layla as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm skeptical they're going to go in that route, but wow, that would be bold if they did.
It would be very bold, and I don't think they're...
Nobody likes it when they do that, so I don't think they would unless they could find a way to really jazz it up that I can't think of.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is intriguing. I'm, like, really don't know if I can wait, like, 4 more days to get this next episode. Like, honest to God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if anybody of our listeners have some theories that they want to throw our way, they can do so by messaging us on Twitter at TheVerseCast.
Well, yeah, I think we're all excited for episodes 4 and 5. So, yeah, let's tune in. Same Moon Knight time, same Moon Knight channel next week for more discussions. Be sure to subscribe to The Verse, wherever you find your favorite podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, and more.
And always, you can always follow us on our Twitter account, at TheVerseCast. And also, make sure to give us a 5-star rating. They really do help us, especially when we're trying to reach new listeners. And we love bringing you guys all new episodes. So if you want more, let us know.
And if you'd like to follow any of us individually, you can follow me, Emilia, on Twitter, at EmiliaU.
And if you want to follow me, Norm Felker, you can follow me on Twitter at random_white guy.
You can follow me, Bridget Brogan, on Twitter and Instagram at BridgetBrogan16.
And if you want to follow me, Lucas Longacre, you can follow me at LuconianLogic on Instagram and on Twitter.
Finally, there's our producer, Stephen Prusikowski, who was last seen walking out of a tomb with a bunch of canopic jars just bursting out of his hands. So that's a little bit concerning. He can be found on Twitter and Letterboxd as at FilmSnork.
Oof.
I know I won't be eating anything at his house anytime soon.
That would be a no-go for me. Well, perfect timing because there's our music. Thanks for listening and be sure to send in those questions and comments. And of course, we'll see you next time in The Verse.
The Verse is presented by ScreenRadar.com and produced by Stephen Prusikowski.
All right, folks, time for some mummy jokes.
You know what happens when a pharaoh stares at a river too long? Yeah, he goes senile. Get it?
Did you hear about the angry mummy? He flipped his lid. Did you hear about the tense mummy? He was all wound up.
How about this? Did you hear about the pharaoh who is lying in the wrong coffin? Yeah, he made a grave mistake.
Nice. Do mummies enjoy being mummies? Of course. What kind of girl does a mummy take on a date? Any old girl he can dig up.
Where do mummies go for a swim? The Dead Sea.
When do mummies have breakfast? As soon as they catch you.
Why don't mummies go on vacations? Because they're afraid to unwind.
What kind of music do mummies like? Rap music. Which underwear does King Tut wear? Fruit of the Tomb.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people don't like movies about mummies. Yeah, I think they get a bad rap.
Wait a second. Did Emilia write all of these jokes? Because they're punderful.
These are so bad.
I'll see myself out.